Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Of gambling in the state of Tennessee. It is appropriate for me to ask you, is there a connection between morality and the law? In other words, does an activity or a situation become moral just because it is legal? As most of you know, abortion on demand became legal in 1973 when the United States Supreme Court handed down the Roe v. Wade decision. Did the Supreme Court's decision making the killing of babies in their mothers' wombs moral? If the Supreme Court were to decide that the killing of newborn babies were legal, would that make it moral? What kind of law would we need to pass to make the killing of comatose old people moral? Holland has passed a law that permits a sick old person, his family, and a physician to help that old person decide when to die with dignity, whatever that means. Holland has legalized the killing of old people. But is it moral to kill old people just because they are no longer productive or just because the old person wants to die? Immediately before and during World War II, it was legal in Nazi Germany to kill Jews. The Nazis decided that Jews were subhuman and had no right to live, at least not in a civilized society. Some judges in Germany knew there was no legal way the government could kill the Jews and the other people the Nazis decided were undesirables. But Adolf Hitler was the law in Germany. He overturned the decisions of the courts if he disagreed with those decisions. Hitler's corrupt, perverted, and devilish mind became the law in Germany. From the viewpoint of millions of German citizens, whatever Hitler decided was legal automatically became moral. Although I have serious doubts, there were major discussions about morality during the Nazi reign of terror. When a nation can murder 6 million Jews just because they're Jews, you know that morality was not a major consideration for many Germans. The law is a teacher of morality, or of immorality. When a law is passed legalizing any act or situation, many, if not most people, assume that the act or situation is moral and therefore permissible for them and for others. When counties and cities legalize the sale of beverage alcohol, the citizens of those communities assume that manufacturing, distributing, selling, and drinking of beverage alcohol is moral. Actually, morality usually flies out the window when men and women, boys and girls, decide to drink, even when it is illegal to do so. But legalizing strong drink always increases its consumption, especially among young people. It also increases the tragedies that accompany the drinking of beverage alcohol. I want to ask the parents and my audience a question. If you voted to legalize the sale of beverage alcohol, did it dawn on you that you were telling your children and the children of other families that drinking is all right? Oh, you may have told your children not to drink and drive, but the message almost certainly went in one ear and out the other. If your son gets drunk and rapes a young woman, you have created a situation where such is possible and even probable. No sane parent wants his son to rape a woman, but beverage alcohol may take away a person's good judgment and lead to tragic situations. Shakespeare accused human beings of putting into their stomachs that which takes away their brains. The scriptures are even more emphatic. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 20:1. Drinking is a major problem for children and young people in our nation. Millions of children and young people are already alcoholics. According to the experts, hundreds of thousands of children as young as 12 and 14 are already alcoholics. Are parents who voted for legalizing strong drink to any extent responsible for this tragic situation? When parents complain of young people's drinking, their own as well as others, the young people know their parents who voted to legalize strong drink in their county or city are being somewhat less than honest. Those young people almost certainly reason, if drinking were not moral, Why would my parents and other good citizens of our community vote to legalize it? They would not vote for that which is immoral, would they? It breaks my heart when I hear that young people have died in traffic accidents because the driver of the automobile was drinking. I cannot fully understand the grief the parents suffer under those conditions. Do the parents who voted to legalize strong drink have a heavier burden than would normally be the case when their children kill themselves or their friends? If the parents had not voted for liquor, might their child or children still be alive? I do not want to add to the guilt parents must feel when their vote resulted in the deaths of their own children. But everyone who voted to legalize beverage alcohol must share some of the responsibility for so many deaths on America's highways. Please remember that legalizing any activity or condition makes it moral in some people's eyes. Gambling in any form is a destructive activity. Those who deny that fact either have consciences that are seared as with a hot iron, or they are ignorant of what gambling does to families and to our nation, or they do not care what happens to our people. But the Scriptures nowhere condemn gambling, so how can we say it is wrong? Does the Bible have to mention a specific act for that act to be immoral? The Bible does not specifically discuss abortion, infanticide, physician-assisted suicide, euthanasia, cloning, surrogate mothering, and dozens of other topics of great current interest. Does that mean we cannot apply the principles of Scripture to these activities? Although the word abortion does not appear in the Scriptures, killing innocent people is forbidden. What have little unborn children done to deserve being murdered? Across the United States, there are thousands and thousands of children and young people who are addicted to gambling. Some children, where lotteries are legal, actually take their lunch money and spend it on lottery tickets. There are thousands on top of thousands of cases where young people steal from their parents and from other family members to finance their devotion to gambling. In addition, many young people, and some not so young, break into houses to obtain merchandise they can sell to get money for gambling. Tragically, store owners have shot young people, and older ones also, who are robbing their stores to get money for gambling. I'm not telling you that parents who voted for legalizing gambling approve of their children stealing and robbing. I honestly do not know of any parents who are so evil and hard-hearted as to approve of their children stealing and robbing, although I suspect there are some parents who do. In fact, I have read articles where children stole from stores or from private homes because the parents encouraged them to do so. The movie, Oliver, based on Charles Dickens' novel, Oliver Twist, may be an exaggeration, although I doubt it. But whether parents approve of stealing or robbing is not the main point. Their children will do so in many cases because they are addicted to gambling. The parents voting for legalizing lotteries has convinced the young people that gambling must be moral. Their parents surely would not approve of immorality. Parents know, or ought to know, that gambling is attractive to them and to their children because both parents and children are greedy. They want to get something for nothing. The children may be deceived into believing that they do not have to work like their parents have had to do. The children know how hard their fathers and mothers have worked, and yet in many cases the parents have almost nothing to show for their hard work. The children have no intention of working so hard. Instead, they will buy lottery tickets or play the horses or engage in other forms of gambling and not have to work their fingers to the bone. By voting for the legalization of the lottery, the parents have approved either implicitly or explicitly the warped thinking of millions of Americans, and not just young people. If it is legal, it must be moral. Will you please think seriously of the following imaginary scenario, although it does not take much imagination to develop this scenario. A mother walks into her son's bedroom to straighten and to clean it. She discovers that he has spent $50 on lottery tickets. Her first concern is where he got the money. She approaches her son and asks, "Son, where did you get the $50 you spent on lottery tickets?" He explains that he withdrew it from his college savings account. She becomes upset that he has spent so much money on gambling. He responds, "But Mama, you said the money spent on the lottery would help the children in our public schools. I am concerned about the lack of resources and the large classes in our schools. You also said that money from the lottery would provide scholarships for college young people. I will be going to college in 2 years, and I want the money to be there for my college expenses. I also want the money to be there for thousands of other college-age kids in our state. And besides, you and Dad worked hard to make gambling legal in our state. Are you telling me it is all right for other people to gamble, but wrong for your son? Is it legal to gamble, but not moral? Just think of all the money I will be winning. I will use part of the millions I win to help you and Dad retire. Do you believe situations similar to my imaginary scenario will occur in our state since gambling has become legal? You know it will. Not a few times, but hundreds and hundreds of times. Parents may object to their children spending money on the lottery and on other forms of gambling when they become legal, and they will. But the children are perceptive enough to know their parents are not being honest. I'm reminded of a young man I knew more than 50 years ago when I preached for the church in Niles, Michigan. His parents were members of the church, but almost never attended services. As a child, he kept prodding them to get them to go to worship. He eventually became discouraged and said to his parents, "You are just hypocrites." Children and young people know when their parents are being hypocrites. When parents urge their children not to gamble, the children will know how hypocritical their parents and other adults are. They will know that the parents will defend the legality of gambling, but have serious doubts about its morality, especially for their children. Another question arises in my mind. What will the preachers and other religious leaders say when gambling becomes a problem among their members? If a church did not speak out against gambling, and it causes troubles in families in that church, how will the preacher or priest explain his failure to oppose such a gross evil? On the one hand, I am grateful for the preachers in our community who vigorously oppose gambling. We have a number of serious doctrinal differences with some of those religious groups, but we stand on the same ground on moral issues. On the other hand, I'm ashamed of those churches and religious leaders who were silent for whatever reason or who actually supported the lottery. They will have some serious problems explaining to young people just how stupid gambling is. But maybe those leaders believe the legality of gambling makes it moral. The real tragedy in much of the religious world is the unwillingness of prominent religious leaders to oppose evil. Does it bother you that the so-called televangelists almost never condemn beverage alcohol, abortion, homosexuality, gambling, and similar evils? Those leaders probably are opposed to most of these evils, or maybe all of them, but they are too busy entertaining their audiences or raising money to use their valuable time to condemn evil. Besides, they almost certainly would lose some of their support if they condemned popular sins. What an absolute disgrace that churches are more interested in feathering their own nests than in preaching the whole counsel of God. In respect to gambling, what does preaching the whole counsel of God entail? I have already mentioned greed, but I need to say a few more words about it. Do you remember what the book of Ecclesiastes says about greed, although it does not use that word? "He who loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of the laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begets a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth from his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. Ecclesiastes 5, 10, 11, 14, and 15. What must parents teach their children about money? It would be unscriptural to teach them that money as such is immoral. But Jesus Christ warned about the deceitfulness of riches, Matthew 13, 22. When we view money as the solution to all our problems, we have been deceived by money. We must impress on the minds of our children that money must be a servant, not a master. Jesus told his disciples, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or money. Matthew 6, 24. Gambling certainly leans in the direction of serving mammon, not God. Do you want your child to believe he can get something for nothing? Is that the attitude you want to cultivate in him? If it is, then encourage him to buy lottery tickets, play the horses, and engage in other gambling activities. If you want him to have proper respect for money, but not make it the goal of his life, then urge him to work for what he needs, not to gamble, expecting a great return on his foolish investments. I want to reveal what an uncle told me a number of years ago. He said the worst thing that can happen to a person when he bets is to win the first time. If he wins the first time, he is almost always hooked on gambling. He can easily get the impression that he will win again and again and again, although he may never win another dollar as long as he lives. If we're going to preach the whole counsel of God about money, we must teach young people and older ones the meaning of the Golden Rule. In everyday language, the Golden Rule reads, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Matthew 7, 12. Do you want your children to believe it is right and good to take from others without giving value in return? If we spend $20,000 on an automobile, we want to be assured we have gotten our money's worth. We resent an automobile dealer who cheats us in buying a car. But all gambling takes and takes without giving in return. It is a scam of the first order. If that is what you want your child to do, you and he are headed for some dangerous waters. But if you voted to make gambling legal, your child will automatically conclude that it must be moral. Mama and Daddy would not vote for anything that is immoral, would they? In recent months, there has been much discussion about the effect that gambling has on poor people. I have used the argument that poor people will be hurt more than anyone else. The reason I have used that argument is because it is absolutely true and always has been. That is not patronizing the poor, nor questioning their intellects. But everybody knows how much gambling hurts the poor, not the rich. Do you want your child to engage in any activity that is designed to hurt the poor? Maybe if you rear him to believe that poor people are to be exploited, he can get involved with businesses that get rich off poor people. Is that what you desire for your child or children? From the time lotteries become legal in Tennessee, the state will be involved in deceiving its own citizens into believing they will get rich by gambling. I have seen the advertisements the states of Georgia and Kentucky use to seduce people into buying lottery tickets. The states probably cannot be indicted for lying, but the ads I have seen are full of half-truths and outright lies. I would like to think that Tennessee will not engage in such sleazy advertising, but I know better. The powers that be will use every subterfuge imaginable to get Tennesseans to throw their hard-earned dollars into a bag with a hole in it. It has happened in every state where lottery is legal. If you voted to legalize gambling in Tennessee, your child will know that you have endorsed the deceptive and cruel advertisements our state will use to get people to gamble. If you think the proponents of the lottery will not do that, you need to think again. I'm pleading with parents to forewarn their children what to expect from the gambling crowd. Teach them that the state will mislead and lie to them about the lottery. But if you voted to legalize the lottery in our state, you're going to face some real difficulties in teaching your children. They are likely to ask, "But if it is legal and you voted for it, how can it be immoral? Surely, Daddy and Mama, you would not endorse something that is immoral, would you?" And how are you going to respond when they ask? What I am going to say to you may seem harsh, but I would be unfaithful to my Lord if I did not say it. The devil could not be happier than to know that the great state of Tennessee has joined with most of the other states of our union in legalizing gambling. Many of the churches of our state have been emphasizing that truth for months and months. If I did not believe gambling is of the devil, I would not have opposed it for more than a half century. There are hundreds of topics I would prefer to discuss, but I know the damage gambling, all forms of gambling, does to the individuals who gamble and to our nation as a whole. I believe it will constitute one of the major temptations our young people will have to face. If parents do not realize that, they're not awake to what occurs when gambling becomes legal. If you voted for the lottery, children are bound to ask, "How can it be of the devil if you voted for it? Surely it has to be moral if you voted to make it legal." The Bible specifically outlines the responsibilities of parents. "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Ephesians 6:4. The word nurture means the whole training of a child. All a child needs to mature morally, physically, intellectually, and spiritually. Do you honestly believe a child can become the moral and spiritual person he ought to be and waste his money gambling? How can we be good stewards of our financial resources and risk them on gambling? Do not our families deserve better use of our money? Can we be good citizens when we know that gambling poisons the very atmosphere where we live? Do you have an obligation to inform your child or children of the evils of gambling? And do not pretend that you do not know that gambling is evil. Obviously, the major responsibility for teaching our children about good and evil rests on the shoulders of parents. But churches have an obligation also. How can preachers or other religious leaders remain silent in the face of such evil? Preachers who are concerned about the welfare of the members of the congregations where they work cannot plead ignorance about gambling. Many churches have members who have neglected their families, wasted the family's income, and become addicted to gambling. Are the religious leaders so indifferent to these tragedies that they are not going to cry out against them? How do preachers and other religious leaders believe the God of heaven looks upon such cowardice? Do those religious leaders know that silence can be sinful? Just because gambling is legal does not justify our being silent. I have sought, as have many other preachers in our state, to inform Tennesseans about the destructiveness of gambling. I am not going to be silent just because it is legal. God being my helper, I intend to speak out against it whenever I have the opportunity, and I intend to make some opportunities. I do not want broken homes, troubled lives, and other tragic situations on my conscience. So you can expect to hear a number of lessons on gambling on this radio program. I would be ashamed to neglect such a vital topic. Do I believe that my preaching on the topic will eventually overturn the people's decision to legalize gambling? I wish I could answer in the affirmative, but I do not expect to see that in my lifetime. If I can keep one person from gambling, my efforts will not have been in vain. If my speaking out on gambling will prevent one family from spending its money so foolishly, I will be amply paid for my efforts. If I can help one person avoid the danger of heavy indebtedness from gambling, I believe I will have served usefully. I am too close to my eternal reward to neglect to preach the truth on any topic. Will you join me today and in the days ahead in praying for our state and for our nation? Do you remember the words of King Solomon? Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14:34. And surely you do not believe that gambling is a righteous activity. If you do, you would render a great favor to me and to my listeners to inform me how you arrived at that position. President Reagan often quoted these words from the Old Testament. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I urge you to think seriously about this lesson today. If you have questions or comments, I shall be glad to hear from you. Please remember, gambling is legal, but it is not moral. Legality does not translate into morality. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.